This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we're speaking with Dr. Candace Setti, aka the weight loss therapist and author of the international bestseller Shatter the Yo-Yo, a definitive guide to losing weight and gaining self-control while ending your dependence on diet. She is a licensed clinical psychologist, certified personal trainer, certified nutrition coach, certified weight management specialist, and certified expert life coach. This very unique combination of education and training provides the backbone for Dr. Setti's unique approach to weight loss and weight management. Dr. Setti goes beyond simple diet and exercise plans and addresses the psychology behind weight loss and weight gain. Dr. Setti, a pleasure to have you today on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
You bet. Certainly looking forward to hearing from you today per your expertise. So for starters, why is sleep such an important factor to long-term weight management, and what tips can help us get a better night's sleep?
Sleep is, obviously it's something we all do. And it's the time of day when our body is replenishing, when our body is kind of taking care of itself and refueling itself for the next day. And the higher quality our sleep, the better job it does of that. The way that's connected to weight loss has to do a lot with hormones. Almost all of our hormones are rebalanced overnight when we're sleeping. And we have all of these hormones that relate to hunger, satiation, fat metabolism, hormones like leptin and ghrelin and cortisol and insulin even. And the more quality our sleep is, the more these hormones are in check. So when our sleep is erratic, when our sleep is irregular, when our sleep is not very deep or not long enough, these hormones tend to get out of whack, and they can mess with our hunger. They can mess with our feelings of fullness. They can tell us we're hungry when we're not. They can tell us, that we're not full when we actually are. They can hold on to fat when we don't need to. So simply ensuring that we're getting good quality sleep is key to any good weight management plan. And, the way you approach that is something called sleep hygiene. And there's a lot of information out there on this, but it's really about ensuring that you have the right sleeping environment, that you have a good, nighttime ritual that you're engaging in every day to let your body know it's time to relax and shut off. And, taking all those steps regularly is a really valuable way to ensure that you're getting good quality sleep every night.
In addition, we also hear drink more water, drink more water. Why is water so important?
Well, most of us don't drink enough of it, flat out. Most of us are in, a mild state of dehydration all the time. And water is, essentially the thing that takes care of everything in our body, cushions everything in our body, keeps everything in our body moving and functioning efficiently. So when we're dehydrated, all that stuff tends to slow down a little bit. And a big problem with water intake for a lot of us is that, like I mentioned, because we are all just a little bit dehydrated, the initial feelings of thirst are really indistinguishable to us from feelings of hunger. So a lot of times when our body is telling us we're thirsty, we turn to food instead because we just don't know that it's actually thirst. And so we're eating when we don't need to and not drinking water when we do need to. So being able to connect with that and or ensuring that you're drinking water regularly throughout the day is a good way to battle that. And obviously just to take care of your body in general, but also a great key to weight management. Water is also really useful just in the fact that it takes up space in your stomach. And I encourage people to have a big glass of water before every meal because, one, it's a good way to just ensure that you're getting water throughout the day because you have this connection, this association. And two, it fills up your stomach a little bit, so you don't need as much food at your meal. So it's a great way to help with portion control as well.
I have a question for you. Can a stress ball really help weight loss? And if so, how does that happen?
Well, I mean, in theory, I suppose a stress ball could, but a stress ball is really, a metaphor for any sort of stress management plan that you have, right? The idea is, you know, that stress has a big, big impact on our hormones, like I mentioned with sleep. And, you know, the most impactful hormone in this respect is cortisol, which is our stress hormone. And, you know, a minimal amount of stress is no big deal. We have a little bit of cortisol that comes out, but not enough to have a big impact. And that could be, you know, an intense work meeting, a hardcore workout. That can be kind of minor stress. But when stress is long-term or chronic, as it's unfortunately is the case for most people nowadays, the impact is much more significant because cortisol basically takes over and it shuts down all of the unnecessary systems in our body or what it deems to be unnecessary. And one of these, unfortunately, is our metabolism. So people are stressed. They have majorly increased cortisol levels. They're concerned about their weight. And then they go on a diet. And diets are stressful. So these diets actually increase their cortisol levels, and then they get angry because they're not achieving the weight loss they want. They're not achieving it as fast as they want. And then, hey, look, even more cortisol, more stress. So the reality is that the key to ending this cycle is really about effective stress management. And certainly for some people, it could be a stress ball. But, you know, effective stress management is unique to each individual person. And, you know, for someone, it could be having a regular yoga or meditation session. It could be journaling or reading or taking walks or even dancing in your house. But the idea behind every good stress management plan is that it's about taking time out for yourself, doing what I call me time, ensuring that you have time in just about every day that's just about you, right? That's not a have to. Not for anybody else in your life. It's just something that makes you feel good, makes you feel happy, makes you feel relaxed, makes you feel calm. Anything that really just takes care of you and brings your stress level down, even if it's just for 5 minutes. And unfortunately, most of us just don't do this naturally. We tend to put everybody else first, right? I mean, it's about our kids, our spouse, our work, our house, our friends, and then you know, we're last on our priority list. And sometimes that means we don't get to ourselves at all. So it's a really, really important thing that I work on with everybody I work with to make sure that they're taking time out for themselves every day in whatever way that is, whatever that may look like.
Really great to have you with us, Dr. Setti, today. We're joined by Dr. Candace Setti, a.k.a. the weight loss therapist and author of the international bestseller, Shatter the Yo-Yo, A Definitive Guide to Losing Weight and Gaining Self-Control While Ending Your Dependence on Diets, here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Weight Management Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, Dr. Setti, you say change your relationship with food. What does that actually mean?
Well, most of us have a fairly unhealthy, and obviously there's a spectrum there, but a fairly unhealthy relationship with food, in the sense that food is not necessarily something that we just use as fuel, as it's intended to be, but we have an emotional relationship with food. We use food as a reward or an escape or for self-soothing or distraction, right? And as a result, we're not using food the way we should be. And changing your relationship with food is really rooted in mindfulness and becoming more mindful and more connected to our eating. Most of us nowadays eat all our meals in front of screens, phones, tablets, computers, TVs. And what that means is we're not focused on what we're eating. We're focused on what's on the screen. And we don't really connect with or appreciate our food. You know, I mention this all the time. Almost everyone can relate to the idea of, you know, eating in front of the TV and they look down at their plate and it's empty and they don't even remember eating it. They're saying, where did my food go? Because they're not connected to their eating. So there's no real experience of eating. There's no enjoyment. There's no satiation and you're left unsatisfied, which often means wanting more. So, you know, it really is about developing mindfulness. And when it comes to eating and mindfulness, there are a slew of mindfulness skills. But one of the easiest first steps I like to work on with people is starting to eat screen-free, meaning no phone, no TV, nothing. You just choose to disconnect from technology for 5 minutes and sit down and experience and enjoy your meal, whether that be by yourself with others. And it can really change the way you experience food, the way, you know, you feel about food, and food becomes more of an experience instead of something you're doing while you're experiencing something else. So that's a huge first step to changing your relationship with food.
Now, you just shared some good information on our relationship with food. Now, you also recommend that we change our thinking about food. How is that done?
Well, it's done in a whole bunch of ways, and it's, again, specific to the person. But one of the most common things I see in thinking about food is what's called all or nothing thinking or black and white thinking, where when it comes to food, you know, we think of it one way or another. Either this food is all bad or this food is all good, or I'm 100% on a diet or I'm not on a diet at all. And everything is kind of set up to be viewed in these extremes. And what these extremes do, they set us up to act in extremes. So, you know, we go on a diet, for example, and, you know, we're eating just chicken and veggies all week. But if we break that at all, then we end up going 100% in the other direction and we eat everything that we think of as off limits. So in this respect, changing your thinking is about stopping looking at things in this all or nothing black and white ways and starting to view it with more of a moderate kind of 80-20 balanced perspective, where maybe some foods are healthier than others, but, you know, they're not necessarily lumped into these black and white terms. So, you know, you can eat vegetables a lot and focus on that. But if you have a cupcake every now and then, that's okay, too. It's not doing any damage by itself. Right. It's about balance and seeing things in, you know, a bigger perspective and on a spectrum as opposed to at these two extremes.
Well, Dr. Seti, can't thank you enough for all this information shared, whether if it's getting a good night's sleep or drinking more water or changing the way we think about food or even our relationship with food, all great information to help us take care of our weight and manage our weight as well. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a final word, a tip, anything else you'd like to share in conclusion today?
Well, you know, what I primarily like to send as a message to people is that dieting is not the only way. It's just the only way we're taught. And dieting doesn't work long term, right? Everybody knows that. Everyone's seen the statistics that 98% of diets fail. And it's why we all get stuck in this yo-yo dieting phenomenon where we gain and lose weight. But it's the only thing we're told when it comes to weight loss. And if you want to lose weight and maintain it long term, you do have to go another route. And really, that's about, you know, the lifestyle and behavioral changes, understanding and changing your thinking and your behavior. And you do have another option.
Dr. Seti, if listeners wanted to get more information on you or on your book, Shatter the Yo-Yo, where can they get the details and pick up the book as well?
On my website, theweightlosstherapist.com. There's tons of information and different programs on there, and anyone can jump on there and download a bunch of free guides. I have a great free guidebook that gives you 10 simple changes that you can make to mealtime to start effortlessly losing weight.
And that sounds like an awesome resource. Again, Dr. Seti, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
I really appreciate it.
We've been speaking with Dr. Candace Seti, a.k.a. the weight loss therapist and author of the international bestseller Shatter the Yo-Yo, a definitive guide to losing weight and gaining self-control while ending your dependence on diets. And for further details, visit theweightlosstherapist.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.